Hey, it's Barrett
and Christina,
and you're tuning in to Seat for Every Ass. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Barrett.
Wait, first of all, okay. I'm going to talk about our props today. So, one is we're talking about COVID times and the craziness that that was. And if anyone went through COVID like we went through COVID, one thing helped them get through it, and that was a White Claw. And we're not sponsored right now by White Claw, even though we should be. And then
we haven't drank them since.
No, because now we're high noons or wine. But with that said, we also had koozies. We didn't have the Casa Alpaca koozies, but now we've got Casa Alpaca koozies.
Really helps.
We're so on brand.
It, like, cool. Keeps it cool.
And if you notice, we are not wearing your average clothes. We're in our PJs. Because again, if you went through COVID, like we went through COVID, we legit were like in sweats, pajamas, like just like shitty stuff like the whole time. I remember doing Zoom calls and like wearing a really nice top on the, like for the top portion, and then
with
wearing
pajamas.
Yeah, no, on the bottom. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Well, us and the majority of people during that time. Uh-huh. This is why the height of the plastic surgery industry got like,
I don't plummet. Know.
Like, it was just like crazy because everyone's seeing their injections, their mugs in the Zoom, and they're like, oh my gosh, I never scared at myself so much.
We were too. That's when we were like, okay, we got to do the Botox and the lips.
Yeah. That was like a must.
And but lasers. The laser for the skin.
Yeah. Because you're staring at yourself, watching yourself, every single emotion and all of it, trying to like sell presentations, whether or not it was that, or like just having, we had like so many different, what is it called? Groups. Like we had like a lot of talks with between the
industry.
Oh,
we used to do a lot of lives.
Yeah, but
on Instagram,
what is it called?
Like, we did a lot of lives.
Focus groups. So we had that.
And even with our friends.
Yeah.
Remember the one that I had with my friends?
Yeah.
And we would do it like on Friday nights.
Yes.
And we'd get a cocktail and we'd sit there and we'd talk to each other.
Well, we did it. We did it a bunch of times. We did it with Philip Jeffries.
No, I'm just talking about my friends group.
Friends.
It was really weird.
And we...
I was like, hey, Christina. Like, I'm talking to you on Zoom. So weird. Anyways, I want to talk about COVID. Sorry, I'm eating. But it's okay. Because that's what Bethany Frankel does. She eats and talks at the same time. They love it. She loves it. She, like, rates all the food that she eats. This popcorn's delicious.
I want to talk about the first bag that you made. It was disintegrated. I'm like, Perry, you can't cook
the microwave
popcorn.
Of course, I had
to
ask Chris to help me. But let's talk about COVID. So, one thing that's crazy is
the whole situation.
Well, hold on. Back it up. 2 weeks prior to COVID, we ended up closing on this house. Chris and I filmed House Hunters. You can find it. I think it's called like New Jersey Designer Dream House or something. Anyways, we filmed that. And while filming, COVID hit. And they were like, you guys, this is the last day of filming. And thank God it was our last day. But they're like, this is the last day of filming. All production of HGTV was shut down. So with that said, Christine and I were like, what the heck are we going to do?
I just came back from Cabo, actually.
Yeah, you were in Cabo.
It happened.
I remember I was messaging you, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you got to get back.
So we had two nannies watching the kids. It was a legit week. John and I,
you guys were away, just the two of you.
Like, we were just like, we need to get away, just the two of us. So, obviously, Barrett's parents they have a house there in Cabo, and, like, you know it so well, and you're like, we were going to go to Tulum, actually. And we decided not to because Barrett's like, I know you. You want service and all this stuff. And I was like, you know
what?
I love
After
Cabo. The 2 years, I do need the service. So we were there. It was like incredibly populated with people. Like, I know. Can I have one bite?
So delicious.
And then all of a sudden we started seeing people leave.
Because everyone like
about
knew. They knew what was going on.
What was happening. And then the nannies are sending us pictures of completely empty grocery stores. And John and I are like, can we even order? Like, what's going on? We thought we had fully packed groceries. We knew they could take him out to dinner or lunch or whatever it may be. And the nannies are going like crazy. They're like, I feel sick. They also said they felt sick. I'm like, okay, right. You didn't leave the house. So
no, but you guys were coming back.
We were coming back on the 20th.
Yeah, we were buying the house.
Yeah.
It was like, it was crazy, crazy times. COVID hit. And at that point, everyone was like at lockdown. Like, it really didn't, you didn't even know the status of your business, your life. You didn't know anything. Like, you literally were just, you know, it felt like a movie, right? It was like, am I going to wake up tomorrow? Am I going to be alive? Am I going to be dead? Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I remember feeling that a bit of like, I didn't panic, but there was a bit of like, I was panicking inside because I didn't, we just bought this house. We also still were living at our house in Philly. You were traveling back. We had no idea like what the next steps were. So let's just go forward a few steps. We are trying to navigate our new normal, which was all of our jobs were on hold. We had a team. And at that point, I think we had like at least 4 to 6 team members.
Yeah, we had 5.
And obviously Christina and I. So we had clients, we had ongoing projects, but everything was at a halt, obviously, because no one knew what was going on. But because of that, we're like, we can't.
This is my cue.
I mean, it's delicious. We're like, we can't lay off our team because we actually have ongoing projects. But I also was like, scared shitless because my husband Chris was in the party rental business, and his, like, the party rental business was it went to the toilet. Like, it was flushed down the toilet. Yeah, it was flushed down the toilet. Like, we knew there were not going to be events going on. House stuff, we didn't know yet. Like, we were still trying to figure it out. It was just, like, on pause. But, like, when it came to crowds being together, I mean, who knew if that was ever going to happen again? Like, at that point, I mean, honestly, I was like, oh, his industry is done. Like, his industry is done. Mind you, we have 2 huge mortgages. So you and I got together and we're like, okay, we have these projects that we still have got going on. What are we going to do? Because Christine and I are the visionaries, but like, we can't do all the technical stuff or the ordering, like the money. So we decided to put part-time with a few of the employees and then pay full-time to the 2 important employees.
Senior that, like, designer
and our admin.
The admin.
Like, we had, we needed to keep them on for the longevity of our business. But with that said, I think for Christine and I, like, we made this huge sacrifice. And for me personally, like, it was a really big sacrifice because my husband, who was an entrepreneur and self-employed, his business truly went down the drain.
There was no cash flow.
No. And we had these 2 mortgages and we're not talking light. So it was, those were like really stressful times. And oddly enough, we bought this house and, you know, the tragedy happened with the alpacas where during this lockdown, 3 of them, well, 3 of them were attacked and 2 were killed, and it forced us to move into the barn. But the beauty, I look at this as like a beauty, because the beauty of it was that it forced us to move into the barn. You guys, I literally lived in the barn for over 5 months.
You have to show that video.
Oh my God. It's the best.
The tour.
I gave a tour of our barn, of like our living quarters. No lie, I shared a blow up mattress with my husband, Chris, our 2 kids, our 3 dogs. In this little room, we had a half bath and we had a kitchen, which was just a microwave, a sink, a refrigerator, and freezer.
Wait, where did you shower? Like, did you shower in the house? There was like one.
No. So in our house here, we had 7 bathrooms. We got rid of all of them but one.
What? That's what I'm saying.
We had to walk from the barn all the way over to the house and take a shower there and then walk back. I mean, it was like crazy times. And to say that we got through it, and we did. We got through it, and I feel like the fact that Chris and I like still love each other and like everything's great, like that's really is like a great testament like to like our partnership. But with all of that happening is what then brought
me,
you over to this area. So Christina was, during COVID, once we got through the craziness of like lockdown and like, what are we going to do? And is our business on hold? No, it wasn't on hold.
But a lot was going on, and we lived in Philly. So a lot was going on. Yeah,
you were going through all the craziness.
We had all the riots, and we had we had just built a house. We lived there for a year thus far. Our kids were on the first floor, and John and I were on the third floor.
With a lot of windows.
And we were like, oh, and it, all windows. Yes, we had a security system, but yes, we saw tons and tons and tons of criminal things happening, like burglaries.
Well,
and
anyone like yourself just wanted to get out of the city at that time.
Well, like, after we got a taste of like, okay, we're in the country. There's animals everywhere. Chris, of course, he just ended up putting like a tent up, and then we used to have picnics,
and
it was just like we made light out of everything. And that's like another reason why Barrett and I work so well together, because we will make light of everything. And
well, yeah, during this time, you were still like during COVID, like the real COVID, not like the later part of COVID, but like the lockdown of COVID.
The scary part of COVID.
Yeah, when business started to like continue up again, you were still in Philly. You were working out of the warehouse. I was here because I was not leaving the animals because of the situation. So I set up shop here.
I worked and with we Chris.
Were. Yeah, but you and I were, like, Zooming with each other constantly. Yeah. Like, we were literally Zooming with each other. And then that's when, like, Zooms really started taking place. And I'll never forget, like, I was Zooming and I had, like, goats jumping on me. I had kids on top of me. We had vendors that used to come out here and they would show.
Carolyn, too. She came.
It was crazy.
Yeah, and that was, like, it was fun. But in the back of our minds, we were so scared. Shitless.
Yeah, but I really have to say, like, with hard times, it teaches you to be really strong and also find what is important to you. And like at the end of the day, again, why we're like in our twin sets, like all the glitz and the glam to us is like really just such a small portion of like what's important to us. And like I think the farm really kind of brought out a new element of like importance and these animals that were around us, and like it made us so happy. Like we were working, we're drinking White Claws, our kids are running around literally in the mud. We have videos and pictures of the kids butt naked in the mud.
We call them Lord of the Flies.
They still are Lord of the Flies.
So cute.
But that's like what the beauty of being here was, and then that's ultimately what brought you to moving here and me acting as your real estate agent helping you find a house.
I was like, I don't know. I just built a house.
No,
it took
you loved
two
it.
And a half years. Oh my! Well, it was a tough.
You loved it.
It was a tough decision, Barrett, because we just built this house.
I know,
and
but
like, we were like,
but
we
you also
year,
saw
we had a 5-year plan.
You also saw how much I loved building this house, like renovating this house, and you were like, got the itch.
But you were stagnant when we were like, okay, fine, let's see if we could sell our house. Without like having
well, yeah, other, mind like, you, we bought the house. We were going into construction, and then COVID hit. So we ended up not going into construction like till 6 months later, and the house was gutted.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So here I am with Barrett.
We were
in the tents at 20 degree weather, and I'm like,
it was not that cold.
It was so cold at night,
but it was so fun.
It was so fun. And then, that like, I definitely got the itch. And I'm
you
like,
did.
Okay, let's see. So I only saw, I think, like, 4 places.
I don't even think you saw 4 places. I think maybe even just 3.
Was it 3?
Yeah, I think it was
well,
just
that
3.
That one house was, like, so sick. And I'm like,
yeah, but that
no,
was, like, way too much work. Too much work.
I need $10 million to make this, like, my house. So anyway, the house next door was on, it was listed for 4.5 years. And no one wanted to buy it.
Not like,
and I know
not like,
why.
Not like mine. That was listed for 10 years.
All the money that it cost.
Yeah,
like,
but it was cheaper than doing a new build.
Oh, yeah. So
that's
another thing.
I was
going
to say, that's the beauty of renovation. Not all the time, but a lot of the time, it's going to be
our
a lot more
sure.
cost effective than a new build. But while we were going through all this, we ended up moving our office to Main Street in Morristown. Which we were so excited because obviously, as you guys know from episode 2, we were in a dungeon with no bathrooms and no windows. And now all of a sudden, we're moving to this little white picket fence, like beautiful.
That's exactly how you describe it. It was like a white picket fence.
Because it's
like
this beautiful neighborhood. Like you have all these kids running around and like everyone seems so happy and it's all families. And it's like, it's almost like too good to be true. And then we had this great office that we renovated, and that's where we brought our team in. And that was, like, the start of us moving to New Jersey. But with all of that going on, you know, there was a ton of stress in the beginning and there was a lot of like what ifs, and you and I took a huge step back, like not paying ourselves for a really long time and paying our team. And I think that's, you know, where a lot of our growth, a lot of our strength comes from. And then thankfully, the interior design business went on the opposite spectrum of any other business in terms of COVID. Like, we all of a sudden started being contacted by a bunch of different celebrities. People
well, wanted... we all know why, right? Everyone's stuck in their house. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't sit in this kitchen. I haven't been in here more than like 30 minutes.
And home offices,
family rooms, like all of it. Like,
they wanted refresh. Really... And I think for a client...
Well, they couldn't go on the vacation. Like, no, that was
or
thing. Like,
you, or even out to dinner. You guys, but hence why this room is actually here was because... when we built or renovated this house, again, was during COVID, and we didn't know if we were going to be able to go to clubs again. And I was like, I need to have a lounge in my house. I'm not even joking. This used to be a bathroom. We turned
laundry.
This,
bathroom, no, laundry.
Nope.
Oh, this laundry was over there?
Yeah, this was bathroom. Laundry was over there. So we turned this into my personal ladies' lounge because I wanted a space where I could sit with my friends. I remember walking in and being like, is it going to be like big enough to like fit everything? And I was so happy. Obviously, this is one of my favorite places in my house, if not my favorite place. But, like, I was so happy that we were able to, like, make this happen with all of our friends. Because for a long time, like, this is where we hung out every single weekend.
Yeah. Luckily.
You got to make lemons out of lemonade. Or lemonade out of lemons. Lemonade out of lemons. I always say it backwards. I swear to God. If Chris is watching, which he will be, he'll be making fun of me for the rest of the day. Because I always say everything backwards.
It's okay. It's totally fine. It's just like mixing up like holidays, Labor Day, Memorial Day.
I do that too. And I've been called out many times.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to name names.
We're not going to name names. Mm-mm. Totally called out. Just trying to keep up, guys. Just trying to keep up. But Christina, what would you say, like during the COVID times, what do you think was like truly the most, I guess, struggling aspect, and then also the most... like pushing yourself, I don't know how to say it the right way, but like pushing yourself to get to the, like to continue to build this business, like, yes, and actually not lose everything that we had.
So the struggle was our conversation with us and deciding on we're going to keep the staff, right? Like that was like a hardest decision. We still worked every single day and we still kept our clients excited, even though they were like, so scared throughout the way, but we were like, don't worry, guys. Chris and I, Barrett's husband,
Chris still did receiving.
We received everything because I was in Philly. It was easy. Also, we didn't want Barrett and Chris to argue over those things, but Chris and I, we acted like such team players, and we finished up, like, the furniture was there. It was like shipping stopped. The furniture was already there. So Chris and I, or it like trickled in later. So Chris and I kind of just, we didn't have anyone to help us. It was just us. And like, he couldn't fully get mad at me. So
I know. Cause I wasn't
there. Measurements.
I wouldn't leave the house. I was like too scared with everything going on with the animals.
You really were. You're like, but that's just
mama mode.
Mama mode.
What was the one thing that you feel like, maybe this is better to say, what do you think got us through, like, those hard times?
So, I think, well, the biggest thing of getting us through was all the inquiries. Like, yeah. We were like, wait a second, these people want to do something, and we got it because, obviously, we get the psychology of it.
We took on every single job.
We did. We're like, we will never do...
virtual design again.
A nook. We did like a nook. We did a powder room. Like we.
And I do have to say, I feel like our virtual design started to skyrocket at that time.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Because everything was virtual.
Which is like, for us, I feel like it's like so fun. But like what really got us through is, once again, I'm going to say it. Like I feel like we were scared, but we weren't like, oh my gosh, Barrett, like what are we
gonna
do?
We just kept going.
I'm like, here's the deal. I'm gonna apply for like that loan thing.
Oh yeah, I remember.
I was like, I'm not getting a no, and it paid for like half our overhead.
Yeah.
For 1 month.
Right.
Which was like a huge help.
But I do want to talk a little bit about our virtual design, because even though we had started Designs on Demand a while ago, like literally at the beginning of our business, we started Designs on Demand, which is our virtual design service. During COVID, we started to really push DOD, and that really took off for us. And we ended up designing a lot of homes, which we still do now. And it's actually on our website. So if you want to find out information on it, but it's a great service because like at that time, like I just said to you, we took on every job. I think that kind of brought us back a little bit to like reality of like, not that we were getting like snooty and saying like no to everything and like taking on certain jobs, but we did kind of have a minute of like, wow, we're kind of back at the beginning again and we're taking on small jobs because we had to pay bills.
That's
like,
exactly.
I had to like, I literally like, we had to pay bills, like legit, like pay our team. I was scared as all could be, like that I was going to lose this home because it was brand new to us. And then all that happened and Chris and his job. And like, I mean, it was such scary times. Oddly enough, though, I kept a smile on and kept going. And we focused so much on these other avenues of like ways to build business. And DOD really took off for us. And it kind of made us, again, take a moment back and remember that there are clients out there that, yeah, they can't maybe afford, or maybe they don't even want to do their whole house and they just want to do like room by room. And I think to be able to offer different services to clients, again, made us really relatable as designers. Even though we're on a high end level, we were able to touch a bunch of different types of clients.
Perfectly said. That's exactly what it is. It's like, we want to be able, yes, is interior design a luxury business? It is. But we don't want to be untouchable where we are like, okay,
someone actually
our clients want to, they want to live in their house and enjoy it and appreciate it.
And we also want to have
that
clients.
Designer touch. And if they, their budget is not there, then we do have our, we have these services and they appreciate that too.
Not for nothing, but one of our best clients that we've ever had
started with DOD.
Originally came to us as a DOD.
Not so like, names.
But you never know. Like, you really never know.
Never know.
And so I think during COVID, it kind of like brought us back to reality of like, there are a lot of people out there that love us, follow us, want our help, our touches. And DOD really took off. And then now we also do the virtual design in terms of consultations, which is great. So it's like hourly. So it's even a smaller scope than DOD, but I think
you get a lot of bang for your buck. Like, you have the principal designers here at hand
together at the same time.
Out at the same time, we're literally pulling stuff based on whatever measurements it is. Sometimes, occasionally, we will bring a technical in, depending on like
what needs to be done. Sometimes we do. Sometimes it's custom. They want a custom millwork piece, or they want a custom sofa.
And we're talking about an hour. An hour, like you don't really get that. And I feel like we call it speed dating.
Yeah, speed designing.
I would say speed dating. But
it's
like,
fun for us. We love it.
We love it.
It's so
fun. We actually bond very well together because I feel like we'll agree on many things and then some things are like, oh,
sometimes we don't. Yeah.
Yeah, like, but it's okay. But it's also like, okay, you're going to get like the two options from us. And we both work so quickly in design. That you get everything that you want at hand.
But don't you have to say that, like, COVID really is not the start of virtual in terms of, like, Zooms and whatnot, but it really made clients realize that
you don't have to be local. You don't.
You really don't. Do you know how, you guys, there are so many designers, not just Christine and I, that are out there that are designing for clients all over the country and also globally that are not local to their clients. And yes, is there a convenience of having someone local? Always there's a convenience of having someone local. But if you truly, really want to work with someone that's not local, do it. You have every reason to do it. And they have every way to make it happen for you. You don't need to be there every single day. You're not watching, no designer, even our clients down the street, we are not watching the paint dry. We're not watching the nails go into the wall. We treat our local clients just like we treat our out-of-state clients or out-of-country clients. It's literally all the same. It comes down to the scope, the needs, the wants, what the client is spending, what's being afforded for our services. Like, there are so many variables there and reasons why we go on site and don't go on site. And, like, a hell of it is done in the office. Like, the amount of project management that's done in the office is a crazy amount. And I think that's where COVID all of a sudden, like, highlighted that so this, reasonable. It's and, okay.
Like, people understood, like, wait a second. We don't have to have those things, like you just said.
Right. And the one thing, though, about COVID, besides obviously but it also the health factor. Us too. It also no, us. Did. Like, I'm still trying to figure out Zoom.
I know. Well,
I'm not even lying. But I did figure out something the other day, and it made me really, really happy on my share screen. Now I know how to do share screen without having to, like, exit out and go back again to share screen. Like, I don't remember the terminology right now, but now I know how to, like, continue. No. I'll show you when we get back to the office. But one thing that I have to say as business owners, as COVID kind of dissolved, I mean, obviously it's still out there, but like as it's dissolved in the sense of being like in this lockdown situation, hiring people, it became challenging because everyone wanted to be remote.
We still get that.
Well, no, I was just going to say that's a new normal and a new challenge. And that's something that, for us as designers and business owners, doesn't work for our team because you and I are so collaborative with our team that, like, unfortunately, we've had to lay off people because they were not in the office. Like, and we love them and they're, like, amazing. But at the end of the day, everyone needs to be in the office. And I kind of miss, like, I love the new way of, like, using all these virtual technologies that we have and whatever. But I also miss having that you have to be in the office mentality, because I think there's something to say, especially with creatives, that if you're not together, how are you creating? Like, if you and I were together or not together and I'm like, Christina, I really want you to see this fabric and like this texture and everything, like, you're not seeing that until the sample gets to you. And then by that point, we're a week behind our work schedule than we need to be. Like, we have a schedule to keep up with.
You guys don't understand. We are like,
yeah, well, we sign on a project and within 6 to 8 weeks, a full presentation of an entire house. And that means everything's soup to nuts.
Yeah.
And pricing. So a week, it just puts you behind.
Well, luckily.
Everything takes extra time.
Luckily, we live next door. So even if it took you.
Lucky we live next door or not lucky? No, just kidding.
Lucky. No, it's just we obviously communicate. And that's another thing. Like, this is how we differentiate from a lot of other either partner designers or single designers. Like, we get to feed off each other and talk about either problems, solutions, actually gaining, like, going forward with, like, certain things and, like, amazing designs and stuff like that. Like, we actually can bounce everything off.
Yeah, we really do. And we're okay to be honest with each other. I just had a flashback. And it actually came up on my Facebook today. Don't you guys love the memories on Facebook? I feel like that's really the only reason I ever go on Facebook, that and then seeing my mom and all her rants that she has. Like, she uses Facebook like it's like a texting
portal. Did she make it to Cabo?
She did.
Oh, yes.
I think so.
Mama Vance.
I know. Anyways, today is the fourth birthday of my little baby Soul, which is one of my goats that was born. Christina and I were actually today, 4 years ago, at a huge presentation up north. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget.
Livingston.
I'll never forget. We get there and our nanny at this time says to me, Penelope, which is the goat, I think she's going into labor. And I was like, no way. Like, I'm an hour and a half away from home. Like,
but you actually called it. You're
goat,
like,
labor.
This is going to happen.
No, I did.
It.
I said it's going to happen. And then we get there and she's like, I think she's in labor. Goat labor is 20 minutes. So, like, once they go into labor, if they don't pump that baby out in 20 minutes, like, you're in trouble. And we know because we've been there. So I'm, like, freaking out. We're in presentation. Again, this is during COVID. And mind you, getting to a hospital for an animal was no bueno. And they didn't take any new patients at all. So we're going through this presentation and all I can think of is, like, business, business, business. And then on the other side, I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Because before this baby was born, we had an emergency situation, and there were three babies, and unfortunately one of them did pass away, and it was really traumatic, and we did it all on our own, and we're like Googling and figuring it out. Again, it's COVID. No one would take us. I'm calling all the different veterinary hospitals. No, they wouldn't come. So, and they wouldn't even take us, remember? And I was like crying, and I'm like, this is just a mess. So anyways, we finish this presentation. We rush all the way home. And as soon as we got home, you and I went straight to the stall. P was right there. She was literally waiting. The moment I came in, pumped that baby out. That baby came out. And we were in our clothes from presentation. I put the boots on real quickly. We were in our clothes from presentation, put the boots on. That baby came out, and it was like, it was crazy.
Well, remember, we were together. We thought there was like two, like another, this little Penelope. Yeah, she was so, like a baby herself.
Okay, so going back to the birth of Soul and COVID, and what brought us here was the farm and the beautiful animal energy and this and that and the other. We had a goat mama who's still here, and she's amazing. And she had two babies, and she got pregnant, and she was pregnant, and she had three babies. And like I said, unfortunately, we lost one. It was a really scary, sad situation. But because of that whole thing, when we found out that Penelope was pregnant, I had her get an ultrasound, and they told me that she was pregnant. Yeah, they told me she was pregnant with two. They had two heartbeats. So here I am, like, mentally preparing, and I'm like, okay, we're going to have two babies. Now I know what to do. I've already been through one birth. We lost one baby. We had two babies. Like, we got it. And Christina, you were there with me the whole time. So
Freaking freezing, too. Little
baby Soul comes out. We come back from this presentation. We're on a high. Everything went amazing. Yeah. We also make it back. P's not even in labor yet. She has baby as soon as I get there. Baby comes out. Baby's perfect. We're like, okay, where's the second baby? So again, Fear within like 20 baby. Minutes, Where they're supposed it? To give birth. So I'm like, where's the second baby? So we pick up Mama P. We go to the vet. Pick up baby Soul. We get in the car. We go to the vet. I'm driving Chris's truck. You were in the back seat with Soul and Mama. And I'm like, and I'm like so stressed out. And I get there and we're like, you have to take her. You have to take her. So they take her in.
Who told you there was a second one?
I'm like, you? You guys told me. They literally were like, oh, there's nothing. Sometimes you can have one heartbeat and you think it's two.
Meantime, we're like,
I'm like, can I have my money back?
You did say that. But also, like, we were like,
so stressed out.
The stress that it caused. Because
we literally just came from traveling, a stressful presentation to, like, the birth of an animal. You guys, this was COVID. This was COVID. Like, COVID was so freaking stressful. And at the same time, it was so, like, homestead. Like, I feel like I was just, like, home as Susie Homemaker. Like, I had, like, a microwave and a freaking sink. And I was, like, the happiest person as can be. And my goats are over here. And I'm, like, milking them. Not really, but, like.
Try. I was, like, wait, like, can we make cheese?
But
can we make goat's milk cheese? Like, why can't we?
But that's what took us.
This is a huge.
But that's what took us here. Yeah. And then from here, it was, like, a whole nother level. Like, we literally got here to Morristown. We have an amazing office, which now we've moved and have an even better office. But these were the steps that we had to take in order to grow our business. And we had to go through this with the world and all the things, but capitalize on the virtual services that were there to have now our amazing services that we offer, Designs on Demand in our virtual consultations. Like, not only are we full service, we're building homes, renovating homes, doing full furnishing projects, but we are able to touch a market of all different people, seat for every ass. And this is why we call our podcast Seat for Every Ass, because there really is a seat for every ass. And like, as designers, you guys, no matter how big you get, I always say this, if I was Jennifer Lopez, I would still be the most humble, down-to-earth person. I would still be me. And I truly mean that, though. Like, no matter how big we continue to go, because this is just the touch of it. Like, we're just getting there. We're not even where we're going. We're just getting there. But with that said, we are touching a market of people. And like our one client who came to us for virtual and now is one of our best projects we've ever had.
Like, and we dealt with you, it, like, literally the whole entire family upon family, a branching family. That is, like, what we actually thrive. Like, that's what we...
So I think with COVID, like, it taught us, instead of saying no, even though we have the ability to truly say no to projects.
Well, something about that project also resonated with us. Like, we do... We will say no if it's just, like, a red flag.
But no, 100%. But instead of saying no to, like, small projects, we developed these services that are so amazing. That can reach out
to anybody that appreciates interior design.
Yeah, because look at, we have that one project in Philadelphia that was a one-room project, and they spent a ton of money.
In that one little nook.
It's amazing, though. Like, amazing. So you never, that
area was so important for them.
I think with COVID, though, it taught us, like, you never know what life is going to throw your way. And if you sit there and be stale and, like, don't learn to grow from what's going on in the world today or what your clientele is telling you or, like, reevaluate kind of, like, how you're running your business, you're never going to
grow.
Grow and continue. And, like, you know, I always say, like, at the end of the day, the time when we are flatlined is the time that we give up.
Yeah.
And we're done. So as of right now, I hope that we continue to skyrocket. And anyone that comes to work for us is going to see the stress and they're going to feel that pressure because this is not a flatlined company. Like, we don't take on just 3 projects a year or, you know, just scoot by. Like, we, every single day that someone comes into our office, you and I are sitting there and we're, like, thinking about, like, how can we be better? What's next? What are we doing wrong? What, you know, how does our team need to do this? What are we doing amazing? Like, we really, truly reflect on every single thing. And I think with COVID, like, that really, though, brought a new sense of reflection and growth.
100%. 100%.
So with all the
bad. We
had
a lot of time to do that, but also we had a lot of time to realize what made us grow. Like, there was a lot of reflection, especially towards the end of everybody, like, opening up in COVID. And it was like, wait a second. This is, like, great for us. This is great for people that wouldn't normally look at interior design as that disposable income. Like, they're sitting in
their... But also, Christina, don't you think, like, when you get scared and you're put in a position where you're a little bit scared, right? You think
about, like, fire under your ass.
You think,
there's a fire.
You think about, like, how do I get out? What's next? What am I going to do? So.
And it's not like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're just like, this is what we're going to do.
No, we're going to, yes, we're going to navigate our own life and this is next. And with that said, the next episode is going to be about you and I as clients. Because this really, truly segues into the renovations of our houses.
The renovation process that when you're living in the house and or not.
And I mean living in living, the house. Living. Living. And with little kids at the time.
Little children, animals, all of that. And we always say, like, the fact that we're still, like, with our husbands is huge.
We should probably bring them on for that episode.
I know. We should.
That would be, like,
come on,
so
John.
Funny.
Chris. Over here.
Chris will be, like, so quiet. John will totally talk. And Chris will be like,
he's like, let me tell you. Let me tell you.
No, but I think it's a, yeah. I don't know about that. I heard a lot of that in Bahamas. No, but I think that it's so important to also reflect on our own selves as clients because being your own client is so much different than having a client. So,
but it's also, this is our tool that we could actually relate to our clients.
I know. Well, we're going to tell them all about it. Yeah. Just you wait. So stay tuned, like, subscribe, follow, share.
Feedback is amazing.
Send us ideas for cocktails for the next podcast. Thank you all for watching and listening and stay tuned.
Thanks, guys. Love you.